Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
A happy Friday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. We got a stack show for you guys to wrap up the week. We're going to be talking some baseball here with Peter Appel in moments. We're also going to get into some soccer as well. We got the knockout round of the Euros starting this weekend. We got a couple Copa America games. We'll give out some picks there. We'll recap the NBA draft. We had round two last night. Obviously, a lot of the headlines with Bronny James going to the Lakers. We'll talk Rookie of the Year, look at some of the notable second-round picks from last night. And then it is a football Friday. We'll get into some of the futures markets. We'll look at NFL Coach of the Year, a little PJ Pick 5, my five favorite choices for Coach of the Year. Matt Horner will join us later in the show for Model Making Money, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays for today. As always, any questions, comments, best bets, thoughts that you guys have for us, let us know. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered. You can go check out the Send It In podcast wherever you get your podcast. Glasses in session. Let's get this thing rolling. We're going to the Glasser guest line. Peter Appel is joining us. Give him a follow on X at Peter Appel 23, co-founder of Just Baseball. Peter, it's been a while since I've seen you. Great having you back. Lot to talk about, and the AL East is certainly getting interesting. I'm an Orioles fan. I know you're a Yankees fan, so we got some extra investment in this division. And right now, both teams are tied atop the AL East. Both teams are kind of going through a little bit of a rut. The Orioles have snapped out of their losing streak. The Yankees certainly are going through it. But as it currently stands, both teams are tied. Yankees are still favored, minus 250 to win the division. Ultimately, do you think the Yankees pull it out, or do you think there's some value there on the O's?
Well, there's definitely some value here on the Orioles, and you could just go directly to Fangraphs and look at their projections. They have the Orioles at about 41% chance to win the division, where if you look at a plus 200 line, that implies about a 33% chance or around that math. I'm not exactly sure what it is. I'd have to go back and look exactly what it is, but it inherently shows value on the Baltimore Orioles to win this division. And now when you're looking at the New York Yankees, they got some issues, certainly with their offense. Like, Judge and Soto are doing everything for this team, but when you look at the Orioles and you look at the depth in their lineup compared to the Yankees, it really isn't all that close. However, the Orioles did just lose Kyle Bradish, so you have to factor that into the equation, but you also have to factor in that the Orioles have the number one farm system in Major League Baseball, and they can easily make a trade for a Garrett Crochet from the Chicago White Sox or another pitcher at this deadline in order to fill that hole for Kyle Bradish. I think when you're comparing both teams, when the Yankees are hot, I think they're the better overall team, and that's why you're seeing their favorites in the market. But if we're looking for the value side, definitely on the Orioles, no doubt about it.
And then, Peter, looking at the rest of the American League as a whole, I think right now if you were to ask people what their prediction would be for a World Series at the halfway point, a lot of people would say the Yankees or the Orioles. Do you feel like it's one of those teams, or do you see value on Seattle or Houston, Cleveland, one of these other teams in the American League?
I'm continually going to find value on the Houston Astros. Based on my numbers, the way I still power rank these teams, I'm always going to have the Astros way up there, higher than the market is. And I'm already invested in their World Series. I'm already invested in their over wins, which is basically a dead bet at this point. But if they can sneak into the playoffs, it's still the Houston Astros. And I think a lot of people are forgetting that. But at the same time, they've lost Christian Javier. They've lost a lot of guys that were super impactful in getting them to the World Series, or at least consistently getting them far in the playoffs. So the Astros need to make moves at this deadline. I've heard that potentially they could sell off Alex Bregman. I don't think they're going to do that. Jim Crane, their owner, he understands that the window is still open. They've just gotten off to a bad start, and lately they've been much better. So if I'm looking for a value team in the American League, it is still definitely the Houston Astros at 10-1. I compare them to the Mariners, I compare them to the Guardians, and I still think in a playoff format, if they were to sneak in, that team would be third to the Yankees and the Orioles. That's why I'm still seeing value on the Astros at 10-1.
I'm with you. I like Houston as well. What about in the National League? Peter, I saw you post a video about a month ago. You were making a case for placing a future on the San Diego Padres. Last year in the National League, everybody thought it was going to be one of the big three. They thought it would be Atlanta, LA, or Philadelphia. And then the D-backs come out of nowhere. They end up making the World Series. Do you see something similar this year in the National League? Once again, it's the Phillies, Dodgers, and still the Braves at the top. But do you still like San Diego? Is there another team? Or ultimately, do you think it's going to be pretty chalky in the National League?
I love San Diego. I bought their pennant at plus 2,500, and I bought their World Series at plus 5,000. Look, I understand that the Padres can upset some people right there. I think they're only a few games over 500. I'm actually fading them today when we get to our main pick. So the Padres during the regular season are not everybody's favorite team. They have trouble holding leads, and it just looks lethargic when they're down in that game. I understand. But when we get into the playoffs, this is a team that just a few years ago went toe-to-toe with the Philadelphia Phillies. This is still a roster that has no Fernando Tatis Jr. on it, has no Xander Bogaerts on it, and has no Luis Campusano on it because they're all injured. They've also sustained injuries to their starting rotation, most notably Joe Musgrove. So if they're all healthy, and I know that AJ Preller is an absolute maniac, the GM for the San Diego Padres, and I know that his job is on the line because he's made a lot of questionable moves here, trading Juan Soto, getting Dylan Cease, and luckily, he's an amazing scout. So what that means is he continues to replenish the farm system. I ultimately think, and I said this on my show earlier, that you know how the Dodgers have a lot of interest in doing a mega package for Luis Robert and Garrett Crochet?
Yep.
AJ Preller just found out that the Dodgers are interested in those two players. I think he's going to end up actually making that move and overpaying. We're going to be back here saying they gave up way too much for those two guys. AJ Preller doesn't care. And I don't care if it's for this season. Now, for the Padres' future development, sure, not a good idea. But for this season, I think they're going to go all in. And when I consider that the Phillies have not looked amazing, right? They had a very easy schedule. The Dodgers, they haven't proved enough in the playoffs for me to fully back them, and they're the clear favorites. I think this is going to be another Diamondbacks-esque team where somebody makes it. I think the Padres have the best value out of everybody.
I think it's a good case. And look, both Philadelphia and the Dodgers are dealing with injuries in their own right. We know L.A., Mookie got hurt in Philadelphia yesterday. Bryce gets banged up, Kyle Schwarber. So we will see what happens. You mentioned you're looking at fading San Diego today. Peter, what are some games on your card that you like?
Yeah, absolutely. I love the Red Sox through the first five innings. Didn't take them full game. It's a little bit too expensive, but I got minus 120 on the first five run line. Excuse me. And the reason I went through that was I was looking at two offenses that are red hot. Padres, they're in the top five against right-handed pitching by WRC Plus last 2 weeks, everywhere you slice it. Red Sox are the same way. So both these offenses are red hot. So we have to look at the starting pitching matchup, which is a huge, enormous mismatch today. Randy Vasquez has a worse expected ERA than Patrick Corbin. He has a lower strikeout rate than Patrick Corbin. He's got a 6.85 ERA on the road. Because he's not a very good pitcher, but he's been bailed out by Petco Park and how big it is. Now he goes into Fenway on the road against a hot offense. Good luck. And the books have priced him at a 3.5 earned run line, 14.5 outs. They think he's going to get destroyed. I think he's going to get destroyed. And while Pivetta, I don't expect him to throw some shutout, but I expect him to be more effective than a guy coming into a terrible spot for him. Give me the Red Sox to the first five on the run line.
All right, fair enough. Couple of games that also caught my eye, Peter, if you have any thoughts on, I wanted to talk to you about. I want to go back to the Yankees because they're a pick'em today against the Jays, and it's always tough when a team's going on a losing streak to know when to buy in, but they are a pick'em against Toronto. Feels like maybe a low point. Want to know your thoughts on that game, and then also the Dodgers are a slight road dog in San Francisco tonight going up against Logan Webb. Giants have the clear pitching advantage. Webb is so tough to beat at home, but still, you rarely see the Dodgers as a dog. So I thought those two games were interesting. Any thoughts for you on Yanks, Jays, or Giants, Dodgers tonight?
Well, in terms of Yankees, Jays, like, I'm a Yankee fan. Like, I'm not putting a single dollar on this team until they show that they're not poverty right now. I mean, they look like a terrible team. I don't know what else to say. Like, this looks, you know, it's like the Scooby-Doo meme where you take off the mask and it's the 2022 Yankees who hit into double plays with runners in scoring position and strike out every single at bat. So, no, they do not deserve our money, and you should not be putting your money on them. Now, with that said, could this be the game that they win? Stroman has great numbers against the Jays. It's obviously he's returning to his old team. And Yusei Kikuchi does not have good numbers against the Yankees. So based on the matchup, the Yankees should roll here. However, we're watching the Yankees, and they should roll against other guys, and they aren't. That's why they don't deserve our money. Dodgers-Giants, yes, it's a little bit, you know, the line is a little bit weird, but in reality, it's Logan Webb versus Landon Knapp. It is the best pitcher on the Giants with great numbers at home against the worst pitcher on the Los Angeles Dodgers. And it's a divisional game. I think that's why it's priced like that. I would still roll with the Dodgers. I'll square up. I didn't actually bet that game, but if I were to lean one way, I'm still going to roll with the Dodgers here. Like, yes, the Giants have the way better pitcher, and they're just off that. They won 3 out of 4 against the Chicago Cubs. Good, they're a little bit hot right now. Good luck with the Dodgers. But Yankees, Jays, I'd lean towards the Jays.
All right, very good. He's Peter Appel, joins us here on Fridays on Send It In. Give him a follow on X at PeterAppel23, co-founder of Just Baseball. Peter, always great talking baseball with you, my friend. Have a great weekend. Good luck tonight. We'll talk again soon.
You too, PJ. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Let's talk some soccer now. A little goals with Glasser here on Send It In as we're previewing the Euros. We got 4 games this weekend, 2 tomorrow, and 2 on Sunday. We were talking about the bracket yesterday, and we were talking about the top half of the region and how loaded it is up there, and then the bottom half of the region and how there's some value on England potentially, why they're favored, and then the Netherlands as well, plus 120 to make the semifinals. Today, we're going to look more game by game. We will start with Switzerland and Italy getting going tomorrow, noon Eastern time. The Swiss plus 225 to win in regulation, Italy plus 140, and the draw at plus 195. Remember, now that we're in the knockout round, you can bet soccer a couple different ways. You can do it in regulation in the 90 minutes where you're going to get better odds, or you can just bet these teams to advance. And obviously, in these knockout round games, we could have extra time. We could potentially have penalty kicks as well. So that is something to consider also. To me, Italy and Switzerland just feels like a draw. It feels like we're headed for extra time. We're headed for penalty kicks. Switzerland potentially could pull off the upset as well. But anytime we get a game and the tie price is under plus 200, I think that's probably the way to go. And in this one, we're getting the tie at plus 195. So that is where I'm headed. Neither team has looked very impressive. Each team has had some high moments. They've had some low moments as well. I think this is going to be like a 1-1 game headed into extra time. So I will take the draw at plus 195. As for Germany and Denmark, this game, a little more one-sided. Germany minus 165 in regulation. Denmark plus 475. And the tie is plus 290. I'm looking at the total at 2.5, and the under is juiced a little bit to minus 135, but that's the way I would go. I don't see Denmark scoring on Germany, and I really don't see the Germans scoring 3 or more goals in this game. I think this is like a 1-2 kind of game. Obviously, Germany's got the huge advantage playing at home. Maybe there's a little bit of look ahead from the Germans projecting that they're going to play Spain in the quarterfinals, but when you're playing knockout round football, you can never project. You got to take care of who's in front of you. So I do think the Germans win. I think Germany to nil is another good option as well if you want to do that, but I think the under is the safest play, under 2.5 at minus 135. Speaking of unders, my favorite play of the weekend is going to be England-Slovakia under 2.5. Yes, you got to lay some juice at minus 145, but if you watch England play this entire tournament, it's been very uninspiring. They haven't conceded a goal the entire tournament, and they've only scored 2 the entire tournament as well, which is puzzling because they probably have the best collection of attacking players in the Euro tournament. They got world-class forwards, attackers, goal scorers, but the way that they're coached by Gareth Southgate, he's much more of a defensive coach, and that's why a lot of the English fans are very frustrated, because their coach doesn't match the personnel of their team. But you know what? They're a great underbet because their defense has been solid and they don't score many goals. I don't see that changing against Slovakia, who knows that they don't have the talent and the personnel to match up with England. So their goal will be try and get this thing to extra time, try and get it to penalty kicks and try and upset England that way. So I will take the under 2.5. And then for Spain and Georgia, this is the biggest favorite of the knockout stage is Spain. I expect them to win. I expect them to advance. The value that I found in this game is Spain to win 2-0 at minus 145. So again, I know people in betting in general, you don't like laying a lot of minus numbers, and there's a lot of plus betting opportunity numbers in soccer. But in these knockout rounds where it's going to be more low scoring, I think you got to lay some juice in some of these spots. And I think Spain 2-0 is another one of those. I see them winning like 2-0, maybe 3-0 against Georgia. I'll take that at minus 145. As for a couple of the games tonight in Copa America, we got Colombia and Costa Rica. Colombia's minus 2,300 to win tonight against Costa Rica. I expect them to win. Brazil was a massive money line favorite against Costa Rica as well, and they drew with Costa Rica 0-0. I don't expect Colombia to do that. I think they win tonight. The value that I did find on Colombia potentially, again, would be them -1 in the first half. So they got to be up like 2-0. Get yourself close to a plus money bet there. I think that could be interesting. Paraguay and Brazil. Again, Brazilians had a terrible showing against Costa Rica. Now they play Paraguay, who lost 2-0 to Colombia. I do expect Brazil to bounce back. However, I like the under in this game as well at plus 105. I just think everybody just expects Brazil to kind of bounce back, but without Neymar, maybe their team's a little bit broken. So I'll take the under 2.5 in Brazil and Paraguay. All right, NBA draft now. Let's go off the glass and recap what we saw in the last 2 days in the association. Alex Saar is your favorite to win NBA Rookie of the Year at plus 425, the number 2 overall pick to the Wizards. Zachary Richesse, plus 600, goes to the Hawks with the number 1 overall pick. Then you got Steph Castle, who went number 4 to the Spurs at plus 700. Dalton Knecht, a lot of people love that pick with him going to the Lakers at plus 900. Reed Sheppard at 11-1 going to the Rockets. You got Bezelis, who went to the Bulls at 12-1. Zach Edey with the Grizzlies at 12-1. So a lot of guys kind of in that like 10-20-1 range. Rob Dillingham, 18-1. Donovan Klingon at 20-1. I was talking a little bit about this yesterday. Three guys that stood out to me for Rookie of the Year. I think Alex Saar at plus 425 for the Wizards is the rightful favorite. The Wizards need a ton of help. There's really nobody on their team that they are building around, right? They got Jordan Poole on a bad contract. They're just going to let him play it out. Kyle Kuzma, they're hoping, can continue to improve so they can use him as trade bait down the line. But Alex Saar and Bilal Coulibaly, who they drafted last year, kind of the two guys that this team is looking to build around. If Saar's able to stay relatively healthy, I think he's the guy to probably win this award. So I'll take him at plus 425. Reed Sheppard, we were talking about yesterday, I like him as well at 11-1. Playing for a great coach in Ime Udoka, great offensive coach. Houston's got some offensive talent with Fred VanVleet and Shane Goon and Dylan Brooks. I think Reed Sheppard is going to fit in there nicely. When he steps into an NBA game, he's already going to be one of the best shooters in the NBA. Just look at what he did at Kentucky. So Reed Sheppard, 11-1, like him. And then Rob Dillingham, we were talking about as well, going to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Look, Mike Conley's a veteran. Jaden McDaniels is a defensive stopper. N'Keal Walker, Alexander, same kind of thing. When you're going through the grind of an 82-game season, it can't be Ant-Man and Cat shouldering the load every single night. Rob Dillingham is a tremendous ISO one-on-one player, and I think we see that in the NBA. So I think 18-1 on Rob Dillingham, certainly a decent bet. Some of the notable picks from round two last night, you had Kyle Filipowski going to the Jazz. You had Tyler Kolek going to the Knicks. Jamal Shedd to the Raptors, Tristan Newton to the Pacers, and of course, Bronny James going to the Lakers. Please do not bet Bronny James to win NBA Rookie of the Year. If there was anybody that I would potentially look at, I think Jamal Shedd is a really good fit for the Raptors. Again, another team that is rebuilding, reloading, and Jamal Shedd just fits the DNA of kind of the Raptors' point guards over the last couple of years, right? Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, hard-nosed, tough, great defenders, can hit three-pointers, good leaders. So I think Shedd, obviously, he's going to be an insane price, but maybe somebody to monitor throughout the season. That was probably my favorite second-round pick, was Jamal Shedd going to the Raptors at 45. All right, it's a Football Friday. Let's have a little PJ Pick 5. We are looking at NFL Coach of the Year, and we are going to start with my favorite bet on the board for NFL Coach of the Year, and that is going to be Robert Saleh of the New York Jets at 18-1. I'm high on the Jets this year. I know the AFC East feels like a lot of people are down on the Bills. The Dolphins kind of mixed opinions, and then the Jets, you don't know what you're going to get out of the Jets, right? The Jets are the Jets. You're just expecting the worst and hoping for the best, but I do think we're going to get the best out of the Jets this year. On paper, there's a lot to like with that team. We know that defense is top five, if not top three in the league. Offensively, they got some weapons in Garrett Wilson and their running back, Breece Hall. It obviously all comes down to Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers, throughout his career, has always played his best football when he's had a chip on his shoulder. Packers go out and draft Jordan Love in the first round when they made it to the NFC Championship game a couple years back, and he goes out and wins MVP the next year. After only playing one series for the Jets last year and him getting up there in age, he's in his 40s now, and people questioning if he still can play football, I think Rodgers is going to have a good year. I think the Jets are going to have a good year. I think they win the AFC East. And look, if you ever have a New York team that does anything good in any kind of awards market, it's only going to help them. So Bob Saleh, 18-1, I like him as my best bet for Coach of the Year. I also like Shane Steichen at 14-1. Last season was such a crazy year for Coach of the Year because you had so many great coaching jobs around the league. You had Dan Campbell with Detroit, did a fantastic job. Kevin Stefanski obviously ended up winning the award, what he did with Flacco. Excellent. DeMeco Ryans and what Houston did, their turnaround from last season and Stroud turning into a superstar. But Shane Steichen did not get talked about enough, and the job that he did with Gardner Minshew, and how if the Colts catch that fourth down pass, they very well could have been a playoff team. If Anthony Richardson is able to stay healthy this year, I think the Colts could be a big surprise. I think Steichen's maybe the most underrated coach in the NFL. I really like him. He's my second favorite play at 14-1. Dan Quinn's going to be my third option at 20-1 to win Coach of the Year for the Commanders. A lot of buzz coming out of Commanders camp right now with what they're seeing out of Jaden Daniels. And look, just the way that it works in the NFL, if you have a rookie quarterback who's on a bad team with like some okay weapons, then if they have a good season, there's a good chance that that coach is probably going to be in the running for Coach of the Year. Cowboys got a lot of questions about them. The Eagles, I got a lot of questions about them. And if there's one division throughout the last 20 years where we can expect some parity, it's usually the NFC East. That's why there hasn't been a repeat winner since 2004. So look, Dan Quinn, I don't know if he was the right fit for Washington, but I think Jaden Daniels has a chance to be pretty good. I think Washington maybe has a chance to be a fringe playoff team. I think Dan Quinn could be an interesting option at 20-1. Mike McDonald, the coach of the Seahawks, is going to come in as my fourth best play at 20-1. I think Mike McDonald is a defensive genius. He's the next superstar in coaching, and Seattle's defense is going to be much improved this year. I don't like Geno Smith that much, but I do like the weapons that Seattle has. I like DK. Tyler Lockett still gets it done. JSN should be healthy. Kenneth Walker's a very good running back. So I think Seattle could be a playoff team again this year after missing out last season. And maybe there's some regression for San Francisco. I don't expect the Rams or the Seahawks to win that division. But if Seattle's a playoff team, if they get that first wild card spot, I think there's a chance for Mike McDonald in his rookie year to be Coach of the Year. And then finally, coming in at number five, Doug Peterson at 30-1, just because I like the price and just because, again, right now Houston is considered the team to beat in the AFC South, and that's the team of the offseason right now that people are falling in love with. We're forgetting about Jacksonville. And 2 years ago, when the Jags played the Chiefs in the divisional round, the Jags were the team that we all thought were going to be the team to beat in the AFC South moving forward. So Doug Peterson's a great offensive coach. Jags have some good weapons on offense. I think they overpaid for Trevor Lawrence, but they had to. So if Lawrence comes out and has a big season and the Jags end up winning that division and having a good year, I think Peterson will be in the conversation as well. So Doug Peterson, 30-1, I think is a decent bet. Those are my five bets for Coach of the Year: Rob Saleh, Shane Steichen, Dan Quinn, Mike McDonald, and Doug Peterson. All right, let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Matt Horner joining us for a third day in a row. Matt, great seeing you again. What are the five-star plays BetQL has for us today?
Yeah, glad to be back. 3 days in a row. I love it. Today, we're going with the Atlanta Braves first five money line against the Pittsburgh Pirates here. We have this as a five-star bet. Martin Perez is on the mound for the Pirates. He's basically been a replacement-level arm over the past couple seasons. He has a 4.71 ERA and a 5.70 expected ERA. Atlanta this season has been better against lefties ever since Ronald Acuna went down with that injury. Their stats against righties have really kind of fallen off a cliff. They have a 108 WRC plus against lefties, though, so they're better against them. And, yeah, five-star play. We're going with the Atlanta Braves first five innings against the Pirates.
All right, very nice. Obviously, the Braves yesterday losing 1-0 to the White Sox, so kind of like them to bounce back as well. Matt, what about your favorite plays for today? You were right on with Toronto yesterday. That was a great play. Are you continuing to fade the Yankees, or are you going somewhere else?
So I'm going somewhere else today. That was a good cash yesterday, plus money, the first five and the full game money line. I'm going to go to the Guardians and the Royals game tonight. I'm going to take the over 9.5. This total has been moving up. It was 9, 9.5. It's 10 at some places. I still like it even at 10. The two pitchers on the mound tonight, there's a reason the total keeps going up. Tristan McKenzie is on the mound for Cleveland. I think he's injured, honestly, because he's been awful this year. 4.66 ERA, more regression coming. 5.24 expected ERA, 5.24 expected FIP. He has an 80.3% strand rate and a 2.46 BABIP. And his home run through nine rate is insane, 2.09. I've never seen a home run through nine rate that high for a starting pitcher who's pitched as much as he has this year. It's ridiculous. Alec Marsh on the other side has a 6.28 ERA over his last seven starts. Regression has been hitting him. He still has a little room there for that as well. Taking a look at the weather, winds expected to be blowing out at 10 miles per hour in this game. Plus, you're in Kauffman Stadium, 106 park factor, second best hitters park in the league. Kansas City also has their 23rd in expected FIP in their bullpen. So once Marsh leaves, you've got some bad guys coming in there after that as well. So everything in this leads me to believe this is going to be a game with a lot of runs scored. So give me the over 9.5. Even at 10, I still like that. Lots of runs I think are going to be scored in this one.
I like it. Matt, I think right now in baseball, the one division that people are monitoring is the AL East with the Orioles and the Yankees. And yesterday, the O's finally caught up to the Yanks, and they're all tied atop right now for the AL East. Any play for you right now? Because I think a lot of people that look at this market, it feels like a lot of people like the Orioles more, yet that both teams are tied, and you can get 2-1 on the O's to win this division. Any thoughts on the AL East?
Yeah, so right now, obviously, you would think the Orioles would be more valuable. I was listening to the guest earlier talking about how that line at 2-1, there is some value there in placing that. The Orioles, they're just better right now. They have a 122 WRC plus as a lineup across all splits. The Yankees are at 117, so the offense has actually been better for Baltimore overall than it has been for the Yankees. Looking at the pitching staff, collectively, 3.89 expected FIP for the O's, 4.25. For the Yankees. So pitching and offense, the Orioles have been better. So if you're getting plus money, I love that. Now, the question I have is, are the Orioles at the trade deadline, are they going to actually spend money? They're a team that historically doesn't want to spend money. The Yankees, we all know what they're going to do. If they're in contention, they're going to just take a big pile of cash and they're just going to throw it at people because they want to be in contention. So the Yankees have a lot of room to improve, and I think that's why this line is still at that, because I think they're expecting the Yankees to start throwing money around and getting some assets at the trade deadline.
It's a fair point. We'll see what happens. Matt, we got about 30 seconds left. We got a question here in the chat. We were just talking Coach of the Year, and one of our guys wanted to know about Matt Eberflus. You're wearing the Bears hat. You're a Bears fan. Do you like Eberflus Coach of the Year this year, or are you in full fade of the Bears?
I will not be touching that. I refuse to bet anything into the Bears until they prove to me that they can actually win. I will say I like another Matt LaFleur at 12-1, or you can get him at some other odds. I just think he's more valuable. He led the youngest team in the NFL to the playoffs last year. I think the Packers are undervalued in a lot of places, and the Bears are just getting overvalued with too much hype. So LaFleur would be my value pick.
Yeah, I agree with you on Eberflus. I am in full fade of him. I think the Bears roster is certainly an upgrade, but I don't think that guy's a very good coach. So we'll see what happens. Matt, great stuff this week, man. Appreciate you joining us the last 3 days. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up again soon.
Of course. No problem, PJ. See you then.
All right, man. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, got about a minute left to wrap up the show. Going to go by quick. And in going streaking, we are going to that Yankees-Blue Jays game, and we're taking Gleyber Torres to get a base hit today against Yusei Kikuchi. Gleyber's having a rough year. He's batting like 215, but for me, this is all about the history against Kikuchi. He's 10 for 26 against him in his career. That's a 385 average. We will take Gleyber Torres. I totally agree with Matt on the Guardians-Royals game today. I love the over 9.5, and that's why my prop lock is going to be Stephen Kwan over 2.5 hits, runs, or RBIs. I think Kwan gets us a couple of hits. I think he scores us a couple runs, maybe even has an RBI or two out of that leadoff spot. I'll take over 2.5 hits, runs, RBIs for Stephen Kwan. Dog of the day is going to come tomorrow in Switzerland and Italy. I'm going to take the tie in that game. Shawnee Sharp's going to take Gunnar Henderson to win AL MVP as his best bet at plus 350. And my best bet is going to be Robert Saleh to win Coach of the Year for the New York Jets at 18-1. Once again, our best bets for today, Glaber's our guy in going streaking. Stephen Kwan over 2.5 hits, runs, RBIs is our prop lock. Switzerland and Italy to have a tie is our dog of the day. And Robert Saleh, Coach of the Year, is going to be our best bet. Thanks again to Peter Appel, Matt Horner for joining the show. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy it. Make some money. And we'll see you on Monday for some more Send It In.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at RedeemHealthshare.org.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for you. Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.